2 Samuel 1 through 2:11. Now it came about, after the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, that David stayed 2 days in Ziklag. And on the third day, behold, a man came from Saul's camp, with his clothes torn, and dust on his head. And it happened when he came to David, he fell to the ground, and prostrated himself. Then David said to him, "From where do you come?" And he said to him, "I have escaped from the camp of Israel." David said to him, "How did things go? Please, tell me." And he said, "The people have fled from the battle, and many of the people also have fallen and are dead, and Saul and his sons Jonathan are also dead." Then David said to the young man who told him, "How do you know that Saul and his son Jonathan are dead?" The young man who told him said, "By chance I happened to be on Mount Gilboa, and behold, Saul was leaning on his spear, and behold, the chariots and the horsemen had overtaken him. When he looked behind himself, he saw me, and called to me, and I said, 'Here I am.' Then he said to me, 'Who are you?' And I answered him, 'I am an Amalekite.' And he said to me, 'Please, stand next to me and finish me off, for agony has seized me, because my life still lingers in me.' So I stood next to him and finished him off, because I knew that he could not live after he had fallen. And I took the crown which was on his head, and the band which was on his arm, and I have brought them here to my lord." Then David took off his clothes and tore them, and so also did all the men who were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and his son Jonathan, and for the people of the Lord and the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. Then David said to the young man who informed him, "Where are you from?" And he answered, "I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite." And David said to him, "How is it that you were not afraid to reach out with your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" Then David called one of the young men and said, "Come forward, put him to death." So he struck him, and he died. And David said to him, "Your blood is on your head, because your own mouth has testified against you, saying, 'I have finished off the Lord's anointed.'" Then David sang the song of mourning over Saul and his son Jonathan, and he told them to teach the sons of Judah the mourning song of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jashar, "Your beauty, Israel, is slaughtered on your high places. How the mighty have fallen! Tell it not in Gath, proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice, the daughters of the uncircumcised will celebrate. Mountains of Gilboa, may there be no dew nor rain on you, or fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul, not anointed with oil. From the blood of those slaughtered, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back, and the sword of Saul did not return unstained. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and delightful in life, and in their deaths they were not separated. They were swifter than eagles, they were mightier than lions. Daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with jewelry, who put gold jewelry on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle! Jonathan is slaughtered on your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been a close friend to me. Your love for me was more wonderful than the love of women. How the mighty have fallen, and the weapons of war have perished. Then it came about afterward that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to one of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up." So David said, "Where shall I go up?" And he said, "To Hebron." So David went up there, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. And David brought up his men who were with him, each with his household, and they settled in the cities of Hebron. Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, "It was the men of Jabesh Gilead who buried Saul." So David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh Gilead, and said to them, May you be blessed of the Lord because you have shown this kindness to Saul, your Lord, and have buried him. Now may the Lord show kindness and truth to you, and I also will show this goodness to you, because you have done this thing. Now then, let your hands be strong and be valiant, since Saul your Lord is dead, and also the house of Judah has anointed me king over them. But Abner, the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, had taken Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim, and he made him king over Gilead, over the Asherites, over Jezreel, over Ephraim, over Benjamin, even over all Israel. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he became king over Israel, and he was king for 2 years. The house of Judah, however, followed David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Luke 6. Now it happened that Jesus was passing through some grain fields on a Sabbath, and his disciples were picking the heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands, and eating them. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus, answering them, said, "Have you not even read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God, and took and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priests alone, and gave it to his companions? And he was saying to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. Now the scribes and the Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he healed on the Sabbath, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Get up and come forward.' And he got up and came forward. And Jesus said to them, 'I ask you whether it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do harm, to save a life or to destroy it.' And after looking around at them all, he said to him, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they themselves were filled with senseless rage, and began discussing together what they might do to Jesus. Now it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer with God. And when day came, he called his disciples to him, and chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James, and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And then Jesus came down with them, and stood on a level place. And there was a large crowd of his disciples, and a great multitude of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem, and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled by unclean spirits were being cured, and all the people were trying to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. And he raised his eyes toward his disciples and began saying, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and insult you, and scorn your name as evil, on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day, and jump for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For their fathers used to treat the prophets the same way. But woe to you who are rich, you are receiving your comfort in full. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all the people speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets the same way. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who are abusive to you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. and whoever takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat people the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil people. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged, and do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Now he also spoke a parable to them. A person who is blind cannot guide another one who is blind, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above the teacher, but everyone, when he has fully been trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. For there is no good tree that bears bad fruit, nor, on the other hand, a bad tree that bears good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For people do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar brush. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good, and the evil person, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Now why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when there was a flood, the river burst against that house, and yet it could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground, without a foundation, and the river burst against it, and it immediately collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. James 3. Do not become teachers in large numbers, my brothers, since you know that we who are teachers will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to rein in the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their whole body as well. Look at the ships, too. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are nevertheless directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot determines. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our body's parts as that which defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one among mankind can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people, who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. Brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. Does a spring send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, bear olives, or vine bear figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is pure, then peace-loving, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, free of hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Proverbs 18:8-16. The words of a gossiper are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. He who is lax in his work is a brother to him who destroys. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. A rich person's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own imagination. Before destruction, the heart of a person is haughty. But humility goes before honor. One who gives an answer before he hears, it is foolishness and shame to him. The spirit of a person can endure his sickness, but as for a broken spirit, who can endure it? The mind of the discerning acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. A person's gift makes room for him, and brings him before great people. Psalm 119:1-16. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who comply with his testimonies, and seek him with all their heart. They also do no injustice. They walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts, that we are to keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established, to keep your statutes, then I will not be ashamed. When I look at your commandments, I will give thanks to you with uprightness in heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly abandon me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. I have treasured your word in my heart, so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts, and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word.